Our scripture reading, we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 1. I'm going to read the first 10 verses and then skip down to verse 28. First Chronicles 4, we begin at verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister, Hazel Elponi, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah. And Naarah bare him Ahuzam and Hefer and Temani and Heahashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan, and Koz begat Anab and Zabiba, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And then we skip down to verse 24. The sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin and Jerob, Zerah and Sheol, Shalom his son, Mibsam his son, Mishma his son, and the sons of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zachar his son, Shimei his son. And Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brethren had not many children, neither did all their family multiply like to the children of Judah. And they dwelt at Beersheba and Meloda, and Hazer Shul, and at Bilhah, and at Ezim, and at Tolad, and at Bethuel, and at Hormah, and at Ziklag, and at Beth Markaboth, and Hazer Susim, and at Beth Biri, and at Shearim. These were the cities unto the reign of David. And their villages were Edom, and Aim, Rimmon, and Toshen, and Ashen, 5 cities. And all their villages that were round about the same cities unto Baal, these were their habitations and their genealogy. And Meshobab, and Jamlech, and Josha, the son of Amaziah, and Joel, and Jehu, the son of Josabiah, the son of Sariah, the son of Asiel, and Eli Oenai, and Jaacoba, and Jeshohiah, and Asaiah, and Adiel, and Jesimiel, and Benaiah, and Ziza, the son of Shiphai, the son of Alan, the son of Jediah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even of the sons of Simeon, 500 men, went to Mount Seir, having their captains Pelatiah, and Neariah, and Rephaiah, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishi. And they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were escaped, and dwelt there unto this day. So far we read from Holy Scripture. The text we consider this afternoon consists of verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this text is found in one of the genealogies of the Old Testament. It would be easy to pass by the genealogies of the Old Testament. And we know that every part of Scripture is significant. There's some reason why God has made known to us the things that he has. One of the things we take note of in the genealogies is the different lines that are recorded. Certain lines are recorded, some in more detail than others. We also take note of the fact that there are certain places where there are comments made. And sometimes those comments may be related to other comments in the context. That we take note of the comments that are made. That sometimes all we're told about is a person's name. And in this case, in this text that we consider here, there's something more told to us than just his name. It's told us how he got his name, the significance of his name, that is why his mother called him that name. The name Jabez is a name that means sorrow. And it says that his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. And then it makes a comment about Jabez's prayer, what he desired. And it teaches us something when it brings out to him that his desire was for the spiritual blessings of the covenant. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And the rest of what he says have to do with that. And that this man who sought the blessing, the reference to him is recorded by God in Scripture, that we might consider what he desired. And how we also are to pray, oh, that God would bless me indeed. Of course, it's very important that we consider what that means. There are those that would make this to be a carnal kind of request, especially when you consider the reference, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. There are those that have taken this prayer and have promoted the idea that and of praying this as a daily prayer that we make, and then we're supposed to see the miracles that God will work in our life. In fact, so popular was a book on this that was said to be a book on this text, So popular was a book that it actually reached as a number one bestseller. Years ago, on the how-to section of the bestseller list, that somebody wrote about the prayer of Jabez and spoke about how if you pray this prayer every day, that every day you pray this prayer, you say, oh, may God bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. You watch the things that are going to start happening in your life, the miracles that you're going to start see happening in your life. And if somebody is praying for their business to grow, if that's their territory, watch what starts happening to your business as you pray this prayer. Oh, that God might bless me indeed. Pray this daily. This is the way to do it. This is the way to get more. And many people adopted, were fascinated with that idea. That in this genealogy, you can find this reference to a prayer. And if you just pray this prayer every day, you're going to watch your life change. But many people, when they talk about their life changing, what they have in mind are carnal things, such as an enlarging of one's business. People talk, you pray this prayer and you will release God's power to accomplish His will. He wants you to pray this so that He can release the power He wants to release in your life, and you're going to watch the carnal prosperity that's going to happen. Well, it certainly is the case, on the one hand, that if we really are praying, oh, may the Lord bless me indeed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that we will be blessed. It is the case that we're constantly to seek the blessing of God. There's not a question about that. But a key point is, what does it even mean to be blessed by God? And we understand that many people look at material things and they say, look how blessed this person is. They see a man whose business has greatly grown and they say, look how God blessed his business. And they interpret the material prosperity as a blessing. We're very familiar with that. And we recognize that whether we are in prosperity or whether we are in adversity, that God's people are the ones who have the blessings. Whether we are prosperous, maybe our business is prospering, but maybe we are in adversity. Those who believe in Christ are blessed either way. And maybe a man does have a prosperous business, but if he does not believe in Christ, it's not profiting him. We understand that. For the unbeliever, whether he is in prosperity or adversity, nothing profits him. He doesn't improve. We understand that this is actually a prayer for spiritual blessings, that we're looking to God, and so was this man, looking to God for the spiritual blessings, the things that are promised us in the covenant. When he says, oh, enlarge my coast, that he is praying for the blessings God has promised in his covenant. Now, he's referred to as a man that is honored. And we're going to look, first of all, at that, at what his name was, and the fact that he is said to have been more honorable than his brethren, or literally that he was more honored than his brethren. So we look at that in the first place, this honored man that is specifically referred to in this genealogy. Secondly, we take a look at his pious prayer. And indeed, it is the case that we are to seek the blessings of God, and that we are constantly to be desiring growth. We look at that prayer, and as We also think, too, about this as an applicatory service. We think of how going forward from day to day, we are to be a people who are fervent in prayer, seeking the blessing of God. So in the second place, we look at the pious prayer. And then we look at the fact that it ends by saying, God granted him that which he requested. We look at this prayer, this passage under the theme, the request of Jabez, the honored man, the pious prayer, and the granted request. First of all, with regard to this man, we're going to look at two things. First, his name, and then what we know about him. First of all, with regard to his name. Names in Scripture, we know, are significant when we're told. When we're told why the person was named what they were named. There's something significant about it that we are to take note of. We also see that in the book of Genesis, there were a number of times where we see this, where the names that were chosen for a child, that there is a specific explanation in the scriptures themselves as to why they chose the name that they did. And it's important for us to consider that. We think of in the history of the patriarchs recorded in the book of Genesis, there are a number of times where a child is born and it says how they named the child and something that was said about the reason why they named the child what they did. There are some places where we read that the name was related to some event at birth. Even in the genealogy itself here, there's a reference to such. Later on in 1 Chronicles 7, verse 23, there's another example of somebody receiving a name, and it was related to something that was going on in his life. 1 Chronicles 7, 23, it says, and when he went into his wife, she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Beriah, which means in evil, because it went evil with his house. And so he named his son that, in evil. We think of Ichabod. We considered that not too long ago. Ichabod, referred to in 1 Samuel 4, 21, which means no glory. And it was related to the fact something that happened at birth, that the ark was taken. And so the child was named No Glory. A name that's similar to Jabez is found in Genesis 35:18. Similar as far as the meaning of the name, but also as far as the occasion that it has to do with the sorrow of childbirth. That in Genesis 35:18 it says, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, and this is Rachel who married Jacob, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, son of my pain, or son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of my right hand, and that's what he became known as, Benjamin, son of my right hand. But his mother had named him something different, as she's about to die. Now that, of course, makes us think about this text, because this text says the mother named him that because she bore him with sorrow. She bore him with sorrow. Now, of course, that reminds us, it goes back to what happened when man sinned. The judgment that came upon man and the woman when man sinned, when he didn't listen to God. And when God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Well, then we read a little later in Genesis of son of my sorrow. And now a little in another place, we read of somebody being named Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. Of course, in the case of Benoni, his dad changed, you know, referred to him as something else. Instead of him being growing up as an adult with the name son of my sorrow, he called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. But with this one, we just are told here his name was Jabez. There is a town named Jabez that's referred to in chapter 2, the last verse, where it says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, and so on. But whether or not that's the same, Jabez or not, is hard to determine. But this man, Jabez, we do know certain things about him from this passage. We know what he was interested in. And we know that he was more honored than his brethren, and that's related to why he specifically is pointed out here. That there's a specific reference to this one who was more honored than his brethren. We read of degrees of honor. There's other places where we read of that idea too. Degrees of honor. And when we read of David's mighty men, in 2 Samuel 23, there's different men that are mentioned. And in verse 23, we read of a man, he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. That there are some that are more honorable, more honored than others. And that was the case with Jabez. That term, more honored, the idea of honor, literally that word has the idea of heavy. That someone is heavier than someone else. But heavier in a spiritual sense. That one person is heavier than another by the grace of God. Spiritually heavy. That's what the term that's translated honor, that's the idea of the term. Something that's heavier. A heavyweight. He was more honored than his brethren. Now that's the case. That's the case also in the Church of Jesus Christ from generation to generation. There are degrees. And there are some that are more concerned about receiving the blessing than others are. That's the case. that he is referred to here and pointed out, and a separate couple of verses are found here that are going to describe this man, indicates that he really wanted the blessings that God promised. That's what interested him. He wanted the spiritual blessings. It makes us think about Jacob, the difference between Jacob and Esau, and how Esau was not concerned, though he was raised in a house with believing parents. He was disinterested towards the spiritual blessings of the covenant, but not Jacob. And though we certainly see sin in Jacob, there's no question about that, yet we do see that he desired the blessing of God. And even among believers, that it can be the case, that it is the case, that some are more concerned about the blessing of God, that they're more concerned about receiving the grace to fight against sin than others. Well, you can see that in your home. You can see it in your home that as you open the Bible and you talk about the things of God, you see that some start growing more than others. Sometimes ones that don't grow as much will grow more later. But one can see that. Some are more interested. Some want to talk more. And it's not just simply talking. A person can be talking about things and not in their heart really be all that interested in them. But it's showing interest, really wanting to grow, wanting to learn. That's seen in the catechism room. There can be those that you constantly have to try to talk to them to get their attention. And there are others that are quite attentive as we talk about the things of the kingdom. It really is the case here that in the catechism room, the children are quite attentive. The elders testify of that. That really is the case. It's a joy. It's a joy to give the instruction and to see the attentiveness of the children. And to see that it is the case that the blessing in the generation is, you can see that as you talk about the things, they want to know. They're interested. They want to understand these things. They have a sinful nature, as we all do. And it's easy to get distracted. So is it the case with all of us? We all can easily get distracted. But the Bible points this out to us. And when we see how this one was more concerned about the blessing, we ourselves are to think, and our children are to think of this, of the importance of really growing, desiring that spiritual growth. I mean, thinking of God saying that about you, saying that about me. This man, this young woman, really, really sought the blessings from God. That she was so concerned about these things. We know the scriptures in many places talk about this. It'll mention different people as being more concerned. Walking in the ways of God like none before him, will say. The degrees are mentioned in various places with certain people. We see their characteristics. We see a Joseph. In distinction from his brethren, we see a Joseph who was more so seeking the things of God, more on guard against the evil. We see a Joseph. And here we have a Jabez. More honored than his brethren. What more specifically did he desire? We look at that. What was he requesting? What was his prayer? First of all, we take note of the fact that it says he called on God. He called on the God of Israel, the God who had made his covenant with Israel. He believed that promise, and that he called out to God indicated that he didn't believe, he didn't trust in himself, thinking that he could do the things he requested. Enlarge my coast, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. He did not think that he himself could do this. It's important for us to think of that too, that when we pray, when we ask God for things, we're confessing we can't of ourselves do this. When we say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, we say, as Lord willing, we'll have next week, we say that means that we confess we can't stand a moment in the spiritual battle. We'd be unable to stand. And we look to God for the grace that we need. We can't provide for ourselves the food and the blessing. We look to God to feed us and to give us material for the body and the blessing, which comes only from Him. He looked to the sovereign God. He believed that Jehovah God is the God of His people, the sovereign God of His people that blesses those that place their trust in Him. He prayed with confidence. He was confident that God would grant that, not only that he was able, but that he certainly would grant this. He prayed by faith. When he asked God to enlarge his coast, that, of course, of the things that are listed here, that's the phrase that many people will pick up on. Enlarge my coast means enlarge my border. Enlarge my border. Well, you could see how easy that would be to take such a thing as that and say that it's like a farmer asking for more land. And that if you keep asking God daily for more land, oh, the land you're going to have at the end of your life. Just keep asking this prayer. Oh, enlarge my border. That God will grant you more and more land. What does it mean, enlarge my border? Well, we understand as we see this prayer recorded here in this genealogy in the Old Testament that he's asking for a blessing that God has promised his people. It follows right behind the statement that thou wouldest bless me indeed. So it's indicating this is a blessing that God had promised his people. And there are a number of places where that's refer to. Like in Exodus 34, verse 24. Starting at verse 23. Exodus 34, 23 says, "Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. When thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year." God would protect his people. When they left and went three times a year as God told them to. But notice that it specifically says God's going to cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. And we think, of course, of the fact that this is talking about the promised land. The promised land that God had given to his people, and what it symbolized. That's what we think about. Many people will take references to this today, and still today, look at it as if Israel today, those that call themselves Israel, by far the majority of which do not believe the truth, and think that what God is saying to them is that they're going to keep enlarging their borders. And that then we should support them in that because God said he was going to, you know, God talked about it's their land. We understand that in the old dispensation that God cast out the nations that lived in that land and gave his people rest in that land, and that dwelling in that land pointed to dwelling with and communing with God. Resting with God in the promised land. The idea of being in the promised land is in communion with God. And he asked God, "Enlarge my borders." Now, when we ask today, think, well then, today, in what sense do we desire increase? Well, the Bible does speak about that, desiring increase. The question is, in what sense is it proper to desire an increase? We're to desire riches when we're talking about the spiritual riches that are found in Christ. The Bible speaks of us, of having spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is referred to as God enlarging our heart. That's what we read in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we sing, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." That God graciously enlarges one's heart. So then they run in the way of God's commandments. Now we think of that, desiring a spiritual increase, an enlarged heart, growth in wisdom. It's proper to pray for that. It's also proper to desire increase when we talk about in one's generations. The blessing of growth in our families, in our homes, in our houses. To desire the blessings of the children of the covenant. That was one of the reasons, too, that we read we read on in the genealogy. And we see that there's references to how some families multiplied more than others did. That when it breaks off and has an extra comment, we see that there's references to that. Like in verse 27, Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters. But his brethren had not many children, neither did all their family multiply like to the children of Judah. So it specifically points out that, you know, what happened in his house. And then it says in verse 38, when there's another time when it has an extra comment, it says, these mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old, and so on. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents, and so on. It speaks of the growth in the families, growth in their houses. And certainly we are to desire increase in the church. In fact, when we say thy kingdom come, we say that means preserve and increase the church in our generations, and also by the gathering in of others. That idea of the gathering in of others is also referred to as an increase. In Isaiah 54, we have another reference to the enlarging, with brethren coming in from the nations. Isaiah 54, verse 2 says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Enlarge the place of thy tent. There are spiritual covenant blessings that God promises his people. There's a spiritual increase that we desire and that we pray for and that we have in mind when we pray, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that thou would bless us indeed. That's a proper prayer. Indeed, of course, we're always to be seeking the blessing of God. The blessing of God brings about more fruit. One of the things you see in the scriptures when you think of the word blessing, what happens when something is blessed and you see more fruit? More fruit, an increase. More fruit in spiritual, in our own lives, that we produce more fruit, that we see in the increase of the church, there we see the blessing of God. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And he goes on and says, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That his desire was that he might be kept from evil. Notice that the way he speaks that too, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, makes us think about the petition, deliver me from evil. That a concern about our sin. The Bible warns that the love of money is the root of all evil. How striking that some people can really promote, can talk about this in such a way that stirs up in people really the love of money. As if this is the secret, and if you keep praying this, and even though they may try to disguise it and say that it's not just about money, it's about spiritual things, man by nature can find it attractive when saying, you know, look, this is what's going to happen. and they set forth carnal ideas. The love of money is the root of all evil. Jabez wanted to be kept from evil. That was his concern. Keep me from the evil. He wanted the hand of God to be with him. And that's the idea. The idea of dwelling in the promised land is fellowship with God. He wanted close communion with God. That's what he desired. That's what he sought. That he prayed this prayer. That thine hand bite me with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And then he adds, that it may not grieve me. Now it's interesting, that word grieve is a word that's similar to the word from which the word has a similar meaning to the name Jabez. The idea of sorrow, that it might not cause me sorrow. What causes us sorrow is sin. Jabez was named, and his mother gives him a name that's related to the sorrow when he was born. And then it tells us that Jabez referred to what made him sorrow was sin, evil, that it may not cause me sorrow. Keep me from the evil. He desired that more than his brethren did. More than his brethren. Now one can refer to that there's believers that desire it and unbelievers that don't desire it at all. But also among brethren, among those who are believers, we are to desire more so that we grow. And that is, as we grow in faith, in the Lord's Supper is to strengthen our faith. He works faith by the proclamation of the gospel. He strengthens it by the sacraments. We're to desire, as it says in our Lord's Supper form, it speaks of the daily increase. Daily increase. We're to desire that. Oh, that I might grow. That thou would bless me indeed. That there might be increase, that I might be kept from evil, that I might be delivered from it, that I might not be led into temptation, but that I might be delivered from it. That was his desire. More so than others, so that his name is recorded here. God honored him. God granted his request. It just ends that way by saying, God granted him that which he requested. And then instead of going on and talking about what happened, it simply says, the things that he said, he received. He received what God, what he prayed for. He prayed for what God had promised. He desired the blessing of God. The blessing of God was given to him. And it certainly does mean to you and to me that when it is the case that we are daily desiring the blessing in our prayers, and when we constantly are looking to God, that there is increase, spiritual increase. As we look to God for the blessing that comes only from Him. God worked in Jabez the grace to do this. Why did Jabez pray this? Why was he like this? This was the work of God. Jabez was spiritually dead by nature, just like the rest of us. But he was quickened. He was given new life, and God worked in him. So, and he grew, and he had this desire to pray this way. It was a work of the Spirit of God within him to make that request. And then, having worked in him so that he makes that request, God grants him what he requested. So God works in him to request it and also grants what he requested. He grew more. There was more enlarging. The Lord kept him. The Lord preserved him. The hand of God was with him. He was blessed. And with regard to that word sorrow, in Proverbs 10, verse 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. One day, of course, we'll see the full realization of that. The day will come in which, in the life to come, we'll live in the new heaven and the new earth, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Neither sorrow nor crying. Christ went through the agonies of hell. His body was broken. His blood was poured out that we might receive the blessing of the Lord. He suffered the cursed death that we might be blessed with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Quite striking. The one Jabez named Sorrow would receive what he requested when he said, "Keep me from the evil that it may not cause me sorrow. Grant me the blessing." He had joy. He had spiritual joy. Many are the sorrows when one does not listen to God. When we don't listen to God, that leads to sorrow. But when we listen to Him, when we seek the blessing, when we receive the blessing of God, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. He adds no sorrow, no sorrow with it. You believe that. You know that that is true. Indeed, you desire this. We and our children desire this blessing. By the grace of God, we look to Him for it. We call out to Him for it. And as we look to Him for that, the Lord assures us that we will receive the things that He's promised. Pray by faith, seek spiritual growth, not only when we're older, but when we're younger, not only when we're teenagers, but before that, seek the blessing of God. Seek that ye might grow, that ye might increase. Seek and ye shall find. Look to God for the blessing. He will grant that. Pray that God might not lead you into temptation, but deliver you from evil. Pray that. Believe that he will do that. And God granted Jabez, and he grants you what we request in Christ's name by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are thankful for the grace that thou dost give. We are thankful for the riches that there are in Christ Jesus our Lord, that though he was rich, that yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. May we grow, may our children grow with the spiritual increase that comes from thee. Grant this grace unto us and to our children and to all thy people, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.